And so I would like you to join me in honor of Blair and the grace that God has placed upon his life to just stand up as we welcome him to come up on the stage and just give him a round of applause.
Thank you. Let Jesus receive the glory. Amen. For anything good that is said and done today. It's a joy, a delight. Oops, sorry. A joy and a delight to be here with you. And it's not my first time in Sweden, I've been coming for a few times now to work with the leadership team of the church, and I had the opportunity to bring my son with me this weekend, as mom's been traveling, so he came with dad, and it's been a really good weekend and a delight to be here again with you this morning and to worship with you and to just kind of insert ourselves into what God is doing here at Stockholm Community and into the series that you've been following. So we're going to look at the Christian devotional life this morning. And we know that the Christian devotional life is what the subtitle says to us. It's the key to a peacefully anchored soul. So many people are searching for peace. So many people are confused, stressed, worried, anxious, and looking for peace in a world that is, in many ways, you see the news around us, less and less peaceful. But this morning, we want to delve into this for a few minutes. I'll just briefly say that, my sister alluded to being in ministry for a number of years. We live in Belgium, in the French-speaking part of Belgium, and we've been doing university ministry. I lead a network called Students for Christ, and it's a network across Europe, and it gathers and plants student ministry groups in different cities and university towns across the continent, and helping them to be discipled, walk with Jesus, grow in their faith, and be mobilized as witnesses on their campus or in proximity to where they are studying. And I have the joy of discovering that my friend Lorraine, who I met at a Students for Christ conference one summer. What summer was that? Do you remember what year that was? It was several years ago. 2019, maybe. Lorraine, you were studying in Ireland at the moment, right? At that time. And then I just posted some photos, I think, from my last trip to Stockholm, and she saw that I was here and said, oh, I'm here in Stockholm. I found a job here, and I'm living here now. And I said, well, why don't you join us for church in a couple weeks when I'll be back? And so I want to thank Lorraine for coming today. It's good to see you again. But Students for Christ is that network that connects students across the continent and brings them into relationship with Jesus and encourages them to walk with him and share their faith. So without further ado, let's look into the devotional life that talks about that peacefully anchored soul. We'll start with our first text in Luke chapter 1, verses 77 to 79, which say this: to give his people the knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Does anybody recognize this passage in Luke chapter 1? This is a prophetic passage. It is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who his tongue has now been loosed after 9 months of being mute. He could not speak. And when he wrote, his name shall be called John, his tongue was loosed and he was able to speak and prophesy regarding his son. And he talks about his son being used as an instrument to bring the knowledge of salvation and to become a forerunner to the Messiah. And I think it's so poetic the way that this passage is written, that it will guide our feet. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. If we think about peace, we have another verse on the next slide that says from Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep him or her in perfect peace. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. When our hearts are solidly connected to the living God, the Creator, then we receive peace that passes all human understanding. And many times people will say to us, how can you be so peaceful? How can you be so calm in such a situation? And we have at that moment, my friends, a divine opportunity from the Spirit of the Living God to proclaim, to declare the reason for our faith. And I encourage you to do so. Be courageous. Be courageous. Because when we keep our minds connected to the Spirit of God, we will walk in perfect peace. Now, I want to look at four different categories this morning of the devotional life regarding the series that you're in. The first category is individual worship. Individual worship is one part of how we live our lives. Today, we are gathered collectively. We are doing collective worship. We are coming in the name, under the banner of grace, in the name of Jesus to worship the Creator God. But there's also an individual worship that should exist in every Christian's life. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Yes, together, but also individually. Let there be a song on our mouth. On our tongue, in our mouth, every morning that we wake up, as we take our first breath, our conscious breath, and we say, Lord, thank you for this new day that you have given me. May I walk in faith. May I walk with a song on my lips. It reminds me of one of our students in Students for Christ in Belgium. She was walking on campus one day. Therese is her name. And she was worshiping individually. And as she was just singing this song, a guy was sitting on the bench, and he was an exchange student from the northern part of Belgium, where they speak Dutch. And she's in the southern part, where they speak French. And she's singing a song in English, basically to herself, but it's escaping a little bit as she's walking along. He hears the song and he recognizes it, and he had just been sitting in the bench in a bit of despair because he was new in Wallonia, didn't know a person, and was a Christian but didn't know of any Christian group or any Christian students, and he had just been praying, Lord, bring a Christian my way so that I can get in plugged into a group together with them. Well, he let, Michael is his name, Michael let Therese walk by because he was a bit afraid to step out and say, hey, excuse me, sorry to bother you, but I heard the song you're singing, and it's a Christian song, I recognize it, and I'm a believer too, and I'm looking for fellowship. He let the opportunity pass by. He was bummed about it. He was distressed about it. He was saying, Lord, I had just prayed. You answered my prayer, and then I missed it. And he said, Lord, but if you'll give me a second chance, I'll try not to miss it again. I need fellowship in this new land where I find myself. The next week, he's on campus again. He's sitting on the same bench again. Therese walks by again. She's not singing a song this time, but he recognizes her. He gets his courage up. He introduces himself, and he says, I think you're the girl that passed by last week, and you were singing a song, and I recognized it. It was a Hillsong tune, and I recognized it, and I just wanted to say, are you a Christian? And she says, yes, of course I'm a Christian. And he goes, well, I'm a believer too, and I'm looking for fellowship. Do you know of any place that we can gather together with students and young people? And she said, yes, come with me to our student group called Students for Christ. And he plugged in, and Michael became a leader that year. And then when he went back to Flanders, to his university, after the Erasmus semester, he had grown so much in his faith that he became a student leader in his local church. So God has divine opportunities for us, but it all depends many times on the individual worship that we are generating and tapping into ourselves. Worship, friends, is a holy expectancy. It's saying, God, you're greater than anything that surrounds me today, any circumstance that I find myself in, but I'm going to place myself, I'm going to position myself so that I can hear from you, so that I can receive from you, so that it can be used as an instrument in your hands to touch those around me. I'm expecting, in a holy way, I'm expecting, God, that you speak to me and that you use me for your glory. And I worship you. And we worship not only for what we can get out of God. Amen? We worship because he is worthy of our praise and our adoration. Because he is the creator God. Richard Foster says, worship is the human response to the divine initiative. God initiated relationship with us by sending his son. And our response is worship. Our lives are to be punctuated with praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. Reminds me of my mom when she came to faith. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and my mom at one point had a radical conversion experience. She met Jesus in a very, very radical way, and her life was turned around completely. And at the time of her conversion, I remember thinking, oh man, what's going on here? I was 12 years old, and I thought, man, she's flipped out. She's gone off the deep end. I mean, Mama just couldn't handle it anymore. You know, she just, woo, checked out, you know, she's gone. But I observed for several months, and I saw such a change. A woman who had been bitter and unhappy and just struggling in life turned into a lady who was joyful and singing all the time and just loving people like she had, you know, any stranger she'd meet in Walmart in America. And I noticed that she also did something as she began to plunge into the Word of God. She began to memorize verses. She began to write them down on little post-it notes and put them all over the house. She had them on the fridge. She had them on the microwave. She had them on the mirror in her bathroom. She had them on the cabinets in the kitchen, and she had them everywhere. She was encouraging herself in the Lord, and she would go around the house singing, and God was giving her victory. Miracle upon miracle upon miracle as she focused her mind and her heart on the Word of God, the thing that does not change. It does not shift with the sands of time that erode away. During that time, she would sing. It was the 1970s. And she would sing, and it was the beginning of contemporary Christian music. And most of the Christian music of the day was based on the scripture. It was the Psalms put to music. It was different verses and passages of the Bible put to music. And so as she would learn it and she would sing it, the word was going down deep into her soul. And I encourage you this morning, let worship be a part of who you are every day. to worship. I think I've done this. Yeah, can we go to the next one? To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God, said William Temple. It's making it go from an experience to the practical, putting it into the practical in our daily lives. Being filled like a sponge. Think of a dry sponge. And if I plunged a dry sponge into a bucket of water here and took it out, it would be saturated so that it would be dripping out of water, with water. We are to be saturated so that when we rub shoulders, elbows, in a metaphorical sense with others around us, what is coming out? The presence of Christ, the presence of Jesus. And people began to say, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but you're different. And then you have an opportunity to say why you're different. Amen? Individual worship. A second component of our lives, our devotional lives, is prayer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on prayer this morning because Pastor Eddie preached on it last week, I think. But isn't it interesting how the Spirit of the Lord has already been in the service this morning, because Christiana recited this verse already, and it was in my sermon, and she didn't even know it. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly for your word in my soul today. To pray, friends, is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. One of the first things to go when people distance themselves from their relationship with God is prayer. It's one of the first things to fall off the wagon. To pray is to change. To pray is to put yourself before the living Lord and to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God, change me so that I reflect you and the things I say and do. And then prayer, friends, when we pray, we have to be convinced of this. When we pray, we are working with God to determine the future. There are certain things that will not happen unless we pray. The scripture teaches this. The scripture gives us multiple examples of people who pray and they move the heart of God, the hand of God, to do or not to do something. To destroy a city or not destroy a city. To save someone out of bondage or to not save someone out of bondage. We are working with God to determine the future. Certain things will happen in history if we pray rightly. We are to change the world through prayer. We are invited. Let that sink down. We are invited to partner with the living God to change the course of human events. That blows my mind. And yet, He offers this to us. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I will forgive. I will heal. I will save. I will intervene. Prayer is learning to develop the secret place to wait on God and letting Him direct our lives. It also is a means of edifying oneself, building oneself up in the Holy Spirit through prayer. It's a means of strengthening our resolve to follow God. It's a means of walking with God. Third category in the devotional life: Bible reading, Bible study. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist writes. There's an old song back from my days as a teenager, an old Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant song that is called Thy Word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me, and nothing will I fear. As long as you are near, please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then the book of Joshua. Joshua is following Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel. He comes into this leadership role and he's told, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Let the word dwell in us richly as it dwelt in our Savior, so that when we are posed questions, we can respond with biblical answers. So that third category is Bible study and prayer in the devotional life. All of these components bring personal peace to us. Roger Ellsworth says, the Christian discovers that God's word has a joy for every sorrow and a truth for every situation. Paul reminds the believer to renew his or her mind in Romans 12:2 in order to become transformed by the power of God in his word. And then Paul writes again in Philippians and says in Philippians 4:8, he tells us to think on the things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious. The study of God's word is the primary vehicle to help us think on these things. This word in our hearts and minds establishes our thought processes. Therefore, when we think on these things, we replace fear, anxiety, stress, worry with truth, honor, just, pure, lovely, gracious things. Think on these things. We destroy the destructive habits of the old self, the carnal nature, by replacing them with the new life-giving habits that we find in Christ. And it's a daily work. It's a daily thing. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to fill up my bucket and then I'm good to go, because buckets leak sometimes. Sometimes pinholes develop in buckets and then there's a leakage that happens, right? And we're hustling and bustling and jostling around throughout the day, and sloshing out of the bucket happens. So we have to continually fill ourselves. Bible study, Bible reading, essential, essential, essential to our Christian lives. And then fourth, meditation and memorization. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. I listened to Pastor Brandon's message, which was it last week? No, it was the week before last. And he referenced this passage. And I told Josiah, he's preaching my sermon. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. Or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Christian neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf explains it this way. When we implant God's word in our minds, we fill our brains with the powerful environmental influence of God's love, which has a direct and positive impact on our mental and our physical health. The things that we dwell on, scientifically, it has been proven, the things we dwell on, friends, will have an effect on both our mental and our physical health. All the more reason to plant the word deep in our souls. Memorizing Bible verses is something that a friend of mine, Phyllis is her name, that she said that when she was a little girl, before she went to school every day, her mom had a little thing on the kitchen table at breakfast, and it was in the shape of a loaf of bread. But it was a little holder that looked like a loaf of bread, and it had little cards in it, like little slices of bread, and every card had a memory verse on it. And every morning before she went to school, she would pull out a card, and she and her mom would read the memory verse, and she would memorize it. The word of God was planted in her heart at a young age so that she could recall it later in life. It became the bedrock of who she is. And she had a bout with COVID 2 years ago, wound up in the hospital in Belgium, and was on a respirator. Respirator, is that how we say it in English? Yeah? Okay. She was on a respirator and was, unconscious for almost 2 weeks. But in her subconscious, she said in her spirit, the things that she had put to memory as a little girl came popping up. The word of God came back to her memory. And as she awoke, she had the word of God on the tip of her tongue. That's powerful. Who meditates on it day and night, day and night. To learn and deepen our knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And then, our theologian friend, Henry Nouwen, he's deceased now, but he was a Dutch theologian, an author, a mentor to many people, especially through his books and writings. And he astutely observed that our lives are overfilled and full of worries. He insisted that the noise of our lives has made us deaf, in a sense. Unable to hear when we are called or determine the direction from which we are called. He said that our lives have become absurd. And the word that we find in Latin that we get the word absurd from is the word surdus in Latin. It works very well in French because the word for being deaf in French is sourd. So it's related really linguistically to that Latin root. But our lives have become absurd in the sense that we find it hard to hear. Everything else is crowding out. And so we find it hard to hear. In a sense, we can become kind of spiritually deaf. God is continually speaking. He's continually having divine rendezvous for you in this world in which we live. I encourage you to cultivate the sensitivity to his voice, that still small voice that often says, "This is the way, walk in it. Go here, speak to that one. Offer a helping hand there. Offer to pray with this person who is full of anxiety." In our spiritual lives, we must learn to listen to the God who speaks continuously, but whom we rarely hear because of our deafness. On the other hand, Henry Nouwen liked to remind his friends that the word obedience also comes from the Latin odire. It's where we get audience, auditorium, auditory. It means to listen. It means to listen. But how? He says, Henry Nouwen, a spiritual life is a pilgrimage from absurdity, deafness, if you will, to obedience, the ability to hear. But how can I be sure that what I hear is really from God, you ask? The right answer is obey, obey, obey. What you know to do, obey. And as you walk in obedience, in hearing, you will fine-tune your ability to hear the voice of God. Obedience means taking a risk that might end up looking quite silly to you. But through your obedience, you will learn to discern the voice of God that will equip you to effectively deliver life-filled words to people in your part of the world. This is part of the devotional life. I'll close that with a small testimony myself that I have. A few weeks ago, my daughter and her husband with our two little grandkids were transiting from They were coming from a conference in Kenya through Dubai, back to Brussels, and then to Morocco where they live. And so they said, "We have 6 hours in the Brussels airport." We said, "We're there. The grandbabies are there, we're there." So we drove from our city, Namur, 1 hour to Brussels. We came to the airport. We were sitting in a restaurant, having coffee and tea together, talking, visiting. The kids were cranky. They had been on multiple flights already. The baby was cranky. She needed to go down for a nap. So I said, "Give her to me. I'm going to walk with her." So I put her in my arms, laid her across my arms this way, and began just to pace back and forth in the restaurant. Back and forth, patting, patting, patting. Patting, 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 until finally she goes to sleep. But before she went to sleep, I'm walking back and forth in front of this guy, this young guy. And you know, I'm always interested in these students, right? Because I work with students. And I'm walking back and forth, and our eyes meet. This one guy, you know, he looks up, I look up, our eyes meet. There's that connection. You know how that happens sometimes, right? And, you know, we nod to each other, and I continue walking back and forth. And then I'm coming back along, and our eyes meet again, and he says, "J'ai froid, I'm cold." And I said, "Oh, you find it cold?" I said, he opened the conversation, I'm going, you know, I'm there. I said, "Oh, you find it cold?" He says, "Yeah, it's cold in here." He was wrapped up in a scarf and a hat. I said, "No, I'm not that cold, but I have the baby in my arms." By this time, the baby had fallen asleep. And so we started talking a little bit. "Where are you going?" He's on his way to Dubai. He's on a year of adventure. Typical European young person of today. His dad is Italian. His mom is Algerian. He lives in Paris. His mother tongue is French, and his first name is an American first name. So very cosmopolitan, right? And we start to talk, and he asked me what I do. I asked him what he does. I said, "I work with students." I said, "Actually, I'm a pastor." And he goes, "I'm a follower of Islam." I said, "I'm a follower of Jesus." And we talked about our faith, and I was able to share with him the way of life in Jesus Christ. Now, did he come to faith in Christ then? No. But that was a divine encounter that Jesus, by his Spirit, had set up for me that day, and I had to be obedient. I had to hear. I had to hear. I had to dismiss the absurdity of all the cacophony of voices around me and listen a little more in tune to what the Spirit was saying so that I could minister to him. And in his name, I was able to plant a seed. I was able to water that seed. I was able to pray with him. When I said, "May I pray with you before we go our way?" He was like, "Oh no, we can't pray like that." I said, "No, as Christians, we can pray like that." He says, "No, we can't pray. We must pray to Allah, and we must pray, you know, just prayers to him in that way, and we don't pray for other people." I said, "Well, in Christianity, we pray for one another. May I pray for you? You don't have to do anything. I'll pray. You can just look. But I believe God's Spirit is here among us, and he's working in our conversation, and let me pray for you if you don't mind." He said, "Okay." So I prayed for him. I deposited something in his spirit. He's on an adventure. He's seeking truth. He's trying to figure out what his life is all about. What's the meaning of it? We exchanged WhatsApp numbers, and now we're sharing with each other back and forth every week. And I'm praying for him. He sends me little videos. I send him little things. And I'm praying for him because that was a divine encounter, friends. Would you stand with me to read this next portion of scripture as we come to the close of our service today? And it talks about the law of the Lord in Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. Let's read it together. There's something powerful about proclaiming the word out loud in community. The law of the Lord is perfect. Let's read together. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we end today, I'd like you to stay standing. Josiah is going to lead us in a song, that old song called Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet and a Light Unto My Path. Before he does so, there was one last slide of resources that I wanted to project, if it's still possible. I don't know if... Oh, you're switching for the lyrics. Okay, that's no problem. I just wanted to give you some resources. Maybe you can come and take a photo of my screen here after. Celebration of Discipline, a wonderful book by Richard Foster on the spiritual disciplines for your daily devotional life. A second book called Competing Spectacles, Treasuring Christ in the Media Age. Oh my word, how we need this. And then two apps that I use myself on a regular basis. One is called Lectio 365. It's a daily devotional app with a morning and an evening component that walks you through scripture and prayer. Lectio 365. And then the second app would be the Bible Project app, which is full of teaching and videos, and we use it in Bible time in our home, and just a wonderful resource both for kids and adults and everybody in between. Very well done. So voila, those resources for you. Let's sing Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet, and then we'll end in a prayer together.